This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Kevin Weeks is on the Alpamonte Ford hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. He of the NHL Network and NHL.com. He's going to be a part of the extensive playoff coverage, including NHL Tonight, seven qualifying round games beginning this Sunday at 7 with the Blue Jackets and the Maple Leafs. And he's with us now. Kevin, how are you?
I'm great, thanks. Good morning. Yeah, we're a day closer to one day out right now. So 'twas the night before Christmas all over again, you know?
Well, from what you've seen, how do you expect the quality of play to pick up?
I think it'll be exactly that. I think it will pick up. I mean, from what we've seen and what you're asking of the athletes, given what's happened in a four-plus-month pause towards the end of the season, that's a tall ask in the midst of a global pandemic and uncertainty. But they've come back, and you know, our players are among the best athletes in the world. Many of them are in the best athlete category, considering what they do on skates and on ice. And they're hyper committed to the craft and the sport. So I give them a lot of credit for what they've been able to sacrifice, the time that they put in to get ready to resume play. A lot of them are very excited about it and the opportunity of having a chance to hoist Lloyd Stanley's Cup.
I'm amazed that Corey Crawford was able in the exhibition game on Wednesday night to look as close to normal as he did. I know it was exhibition hockey, but he stopped the 11 shots that he saw. This is after he's recovered from COVID. It is after he's had his heart and lungs checked and after he's been out of action. It's pretty remarkable for him to even be at this point that he feels able to get back between the pipes.
Yeah, no question. The guy that they call Crow in Corey Crawford, I've just been a really big Corey Crawford fan. He was in the American League for a long time. He was overripe. He more than earned his opportunity to be up in the NHL. He's been the backbone of that franchise in a different way. And I just think the bigger the game, the bigger he's played. He's a gamer. The boys love playing in front of him. The goalie coaches, Stefan Waite before, and now his brother Jimmy Waite, have done an outstanding job. Think of what Jimmy Waite's had to do with him in this short amount of time. And certainly within the last, say, year and a half or two seasons with some of the injuries that Corey's had and he's battled back. And you know, they're a fortunate, really shrewd move to get Robin Leonard in the offseason, who came in and he was great because it gave Corey the opportunity to get healthy and then to rediscover his game and find his form, which he was able to do, especially coming down the stretch. So the other night, I've been on several different Chicago platforms, including yours now, and people are like, well, what's going to happen? How's Crow going to look? I mean, he looked great. He looked like he didn't even miss a beat. And also, too, it was nice that Malkin was able to go in there and play well. So I think this kind of swings the balance now in this series with Corey Crawford coming back in. And I know from speaking to people in Edmonton, they recognize his resume. And for a lot of you Hawks fans, you know, what's pretty remarkable is you think of a franchise, an original six franchise with that much history and tradition, and the fact that he's their all-time winningest goalie in the playoffs. I mean, like, that's a head-scratcher. It really is. So. They're in a good situation. I'm happy to see him back. I'm a big fan of Crow's. I'm happy to see him back.
We talked last time during the middle of quarantine about the difficulty in general that goalies would have in staying sharp, because obviously someone can go skate on their own and they can make sure that their conditioning is okay and they can cut and they can shoot, they can do what they want, but goalies need extra people around them to give them the looks that they need to stay sharp. Do you think goaltending in general is going to lag, or do you think they've had enough time to get back up to sharpness?
That is the maybe billion-dollar, maybe billion-and-a-half-dollar question. You know, from speaking to different guys around the league, I spoke to Carter Hart, the young stud of the Philadelphia Flyers, Freddie Anderson, their trusted ace in Toronto. I said, guys, how are you guys feeling? Did you guys see anything different? Were your sight lines different? Because Ryan Callahan, a longtime NHLer, and he's with us on the NHL Network, he had posted something on Twitter wondering if the sight lines were going to be different without fans in the stands and having the branded tarping. So I thought it was a great observation by Cali. So to that end, I ended up following up with those guys, those two, and they said that they felt great. They didn't notice anything different from that standpoint. But, you know, it's going to be a case-by-case basis. Speaking of Frantz John, the goalie coach in Tampa, who's done an amazing job with Vasilevskiy, who's a Vezina winner, as you know, and a Vezina Trophy finalist again. I asked him, I said, Frantz, what was your kind of approach to this? He said, you know what, Weeksy, I really went back to basics, like primary school, like learning how to, you know, read and write and addition, subtraction, multiplication, division, like that basic. We started skating. We were doing a lot of our crease movement, goalie-specific crease movement and skating on their feet and on their knees. And we just slowly went through our progressions from there. Obviously, in watching Vasilevskiy the other day against Florida, he looked like himself. He looked great. But I'm curious to see. It'll be a case-by-case basis. From what I've seen, for the most part, though, the guys have looked good. They've looked locked in. And, yeah, there might be the odd little misread or maybe a little bit of a timing issue or a miscalculation. But for the most part, I'm blown away by how good the guys look, and I'm also blown away by how good the goalies look right now.
You mentioned that Crawford's return might shift the balance of this series positively for the Blackhawks. Well, your compatriots at NHL.com, for the most part, don't really seem to agree. There were 16 polled as to their predictions for this opening round. Only one of 16 predicted a Blackhawks upset of the Edmonton Oilers. So this would look to be a steep challenge if we're actually breaking down some of these matchups.
Well, I mean, hey, listen, you know, the games are never played in paper or in our studios. What we do is we break them down, and different people break them down in the offices. But the people that go out and make hay are the great athletes on the ice. And I would say this, you know, coming into this series, I've been asked numerous times, and I got to tell you, I really have a lot of respect for what Edmonton finally was able to do. And I say finally because it seems like it's been 800 years since they've been able to get it together and build a deep team, especially having all these great draft picks that they've had over the years. Now, we know that they got to the Cup final and played well against Carolina, which they ended up losing. But nonetheless, all that to say, they have a deep team. I spoke to Wayne Gretzky earlier in the season at Madison Square Garden. He's like, Weeksy, our team's deep right now. We've got a deep team right now here in Edmonton. And when that comes from Wayne Gretzky, I mean, that's the tip of the top of the mountaintop, really. That's the summit. So in saying that, they are a deeper team. They're great on special teams. Best power play in the league, at times best penalty kill inside the top five. You know, they have four lines now. Draisaitl's likely going to win the MVP. If not him, it'll be Panarin. And they have another guy by the name of Connor McDavid. So I love their team. I really do. But in saying that, the Hawks, to me, as I told you guys, I don't bet against superheroes. I'm smart enough not to bet against superheroes. And you have superheroes in that team. You have who's going to be the best American-born player in the history of the NHL in Patrick Kane. Fastest American-born player to 1,000 points. You have Jonathan Toews, another walking Hall of Famer, who's still an excellent player. You have Duncan Keith, who looks like he might do a little bit of a duet between being who he is on the ice and being in the WWE with the hair he's rocking right now. But he's ready to go nonetheless.
Yeah, and the social media stuff. He's really out there with some wacko social media posts.
Yeah, he's all of a sudden he's got a little Undertaker in him, but that's okay. From the WWE, but that's okay, though. No, you know, honestly, he's healthy again. And then you have the other young defenseman in that core, and everybody sleeps on Kubalik. Don't ask me why. 30-goal guy in his rookie season this year. And DeBrincat hasn't even fully hit his stride this year. So all of that to say, and then you have a healthy Corey Crawford. But when you can glean from the experience, which is why I mentioned swings the balance a little bit, when you can glean from the experience of a lot of those guys, your core guys, that have been, you know, the 1, 2, 3 Stanley Cups, the majority of those guys with that group have won 3. I mean, that's pretty telling, and that's pretty helpful, especially in a short series. So that's why, for me, I feel very strongly about the Hawks team, and not to take anything away from Edmonton, but I think it makes this matchup closer than people would have thought.
when I was watching the NBA games last night, I was seeing some guys who were sucking wind a little earlier than they might otherwise. You saw some hands on hips. You saw some guys maybe a little slower to get back on defense because you can't really replicate game speed no matter how you try. What does this mean for NHL coaches as far as time and frequency of shift changes? Because there could be some real dangers of some odd man rushes and some difficult, precarious situations at the end of some of these shifts.
Yeah, there could be. Yeah, no question. I mean, that's a lot about the coaching is going to go right now is the coaches are going to have to be a lot more attentive and a lot more observant. And what I mean by that is now more than ever, you're going to have to coach the person and the player at the same time. And when I say the player, now you have to look at what you're observing. Like you were just saying, are you notice the player looks a little, do they look a little tired? Do they look a little bit, do they get nicked up on a play? You know, because this is a different time cycle that we've ever had in the history of our league. Now you're coming off of a resumption after a 4-month pause, after completing, 90% of a regular season or whatever it was. Like, this is a whole different ask. In our bodies, in the players' bodies, I should say, are all attuned to the calendar cycle throughout the calendar year. So now you're asking something very, very different. So all that to say, the coaches, are going to have to look for those little nuances. Also, they're going to have to observe the players. There's some players that, have a spouse and or a significant other that's expecting. Are they in a first trimester? Are they in the second? Are they in the third? The players aren't there. You know, do they have an older family member that could be health compromised, a parent, a grandparent? You know, do they have a sister or brother who maybe is stuck overseas and haven't, because of the borders, may not have had a chance to get back to their home state or their home country or whatever the case may be, home city? So all these are different things that are factors right now that coaches are going to have to manage. And, you know, I've spoken to different coaches around the league, from Craig Berube to Todd Reirden, Jared Bednar, too many to mention, Joel Quenneville, John Cooper, and every single one of them said, we've got to be a lot more observant perhaps than we ever have been, and also be a lot more flexible. And that's why the expanded rosters right now, and you'll see some young teams are going to go to some of their young players, Toronto Maple Leafs being one of them, with that youngster Robertson, led the OHL with 55 goals in Peterborough. I mean, he's been a star so far in camp, and he played really well in their exhibition game. So those are some of the things that I've been able to hear from Rick Tocchet and several of the other NHL coaches around the league I've been in contact with this whole time, but especially through camp.
Kevin, last thing for you. We know that during the playoffs, fighting is rare because it's kind of dumb to take a penalty and make your team less likely to win because you put the other team on a power play. Now, fighting is insane because there's just no reason for that kind of close contact and more blood and spit and everything to be flying. Has the NHL officially outlawed it, or is there just sort of a gentleman's agreement now?
Yeah, no. The NHL hasn't officially outlawed it. I mean, what we like about the fighting in our game, especially when it's in a circumstance that you're sticking up for a teammate in the essence that a player, an opposing player, takes an unneeded liberty with one of your teammates. So, let's say you have somebody take a liberty with Patrick Kane. You know, that's an American treasure. That's an NHL treasure right there, let alone a Chicagoland or a Buffalo treasure, because he's probably, that's an NHL treasure. You know, and you don't want, let's say, a Zach Cassian, just as an example, coming up and needlessly doing something that he shouldn't have done physically to Patrick Kane, roughing him up or whatever. So that's what I like about our sport is we have a lot of what I say on-ice security. And I love the fact that not when it's misused, but where it's called for and where it's merited, I like that because it's a deterrent. And it's a deterrent to say, hey, listen, you know what, man, what you did was cheap. You can't cross-check a guy in his low back when the guy's a foot and a half on the boards. You know, heaven forbid that player gets paralyzed in worst-case scenario. So you can't do that. You can't have that. And I love the fact that our league and our players are able to police some of that themselves and provide some of that on-ice security, as I like to say, as a deterrent and also as a little bit of a warning. Hey, you try that again, there's going to be a problem. It's almost like an old grandma. You know, you go visit your grandma and your grandma's good. And she says, hey, as long as you behave, everything is fine. You watch a little TV, make you some cereal, get you some Cap'n Crunch, whatever, you're behaving. But when you're not behaving, it's going to be different. And that's one thing. So we have the penalty box for that. But I also like the fact that our players are able to iron out some of those wrinkles themselves. And it wouldn't surprise me, since the players have been cooped up, I wouldn't be surprised to see the odd tilt. We've seen a couple in preseason, and just with the intensity of the Stanley Cup playoffs and all that entails, it wouldn't surprise me if we did see one.
Wow. See, I would be, if I were Gary Bettman, I would say because of these unique circumstances and because we're trying so hard to be socially distant, et cetera, do what baseball did and basically say, no, I mean, this isn't, I mean, if you're not even allowed to high five in baseball, you're not allowed to pat a guy on the back, that just personally, if I'm a commissioner, just for public health reasons, and say we can debate this another time, but as hockey resumes, there's going to be none of that. There's immediate permanent suspension for the remainder of the league for anybody who fights.
Yeah, I mean, I could see your thought based on all that's going on with the pandemic, but it's pretty difficult to put a lid on authenticity and competitive spirit too. You know, and that's one of the things that everybody loves about our sport, which makes it so unique, is that unique blend of not only skill, finesse, but the intensity and the physicality too, and the toughness that's required to play it. And, you know, it's not like you're saying, guys, this is game 1 through 15, you know, in the first, so let's say, quarter one of the season. This is the playoff qualifiers / expanded playoffs, if you will, into the round of 16. And you never know when you're going to get here again. You know, I'm getting goosebumps talking about it, sitting in our NHL Network studios. You know, I remember coming into the league and all my hockey cards as a kid and sticker books and watching all these guys and skating with NHL players in the summer as a, you know, 15, 16-year-old back in Toronto. And then when I got dropped into that league, I was like, whoa, this is for real. But everything you aspire to do, and the big part of why most players aspire to play in that league, is to lift that chalice, is to lift that Stanley Cup, to get to a Stanley Cup final. And quite frankly, There isn't anything moral, legal, and ethical that most players aren't committed to doing it again. And you guys in Chicago have been able to see that numerous times with this group and this once in a generation, maybe once in a lifetime cycle that you guys had with this great team. So players, you can't put a lid on that competitive spirit. They'll do anything that it takes to win. And once the puck drops, they could be playing in the parking lot at the United Center on rollerblades or in sneakers or tennis shoes. And you'd see that intensity from them. It never changes. It's just how they're wired.
Here's to everybody staying safe, you included. Kevin, appreciate your time as always.
Oh, thank you so much, man. Thanks for having me on. And thanks to all you Hawks fans and NHL fans there in Chicagoland and beyond, around the world, really, that tune in and watch us on the NHL Network. We'll be live tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern, which is 5 p.m. Central. So check us out.
Kevin Weeks, NHL Network and NHL.com. He will be on NHL tonight. 7 qualifying round games, and we're going to have Blackhawks playoff hockey this weekend.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.